It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Podcast, episode 51. We are at Turkey Week, man, where we got a bunch of games going on. No bye week, so we're going to see all our teams playing this week. This is Eugene. You can follow me on Twitter at Fantasy Genes. That's G-E-N-E-S. Follow our official Twitter handle at Off the Line FF. And of course, I'm here with my other Cowboys fan and partner on those podcasts, Ike. You can follow him on Twitter at just_09. How you feeling today, man?
Pretty good, man. We're getting towards the end of the season and the stretch run of the regular season. It's just gone by way too fast, as I've, you know, kind of alluded to in previous weeks. But man, like, already Thanksgiving next week, man. Thanksgiving. But yeah, you know, you made a good point. No bye weeks. We get to see everybody play for the first time in what seems like quite a while. I think for the first time since like week 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've seen everybody play, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, no bye weeks. Everybody's in your lineups, but you still have a lot of roster decisions to make at this point in the season. So we're gonna dive into all that here shortly. So I'm excited to do that.
Yeah, and before we get into our bold predictions, we did talk about the game of the week this previous episode. It looked like it was going to be the game of the week. Then it quickly wasn't, because the Cowboys were ready to play, man. And primetime Kirk showed up and showed out with doing nothing. So,
yeah, I had Kirk Cousins on a couple of my rosters, and 2 points. That's what he got. 2 points. So thanks, Kirk, for showing up when it matters most. for some of my fantasy rosters who need, you know, to make a playoff push. So thanks a lot.
But there was a lot of, you know, just a lot of letdown games. I thought it was pretty much a down week for the most part in terms of like how exciting the games were. But I mean, we'll get into some of the reactions a little bit later. First, like I said, let's get into some of the bold predictions. Last week I said Courtland Sutton would go over 100 yards and have a touchdown. That didn't happen. Russ was pretty much ass throughout the game. I mean, Sutton did look pretty good. I think he finished with like 80 yards, but you know, just overall, that offense is still just, it's dead, man. Like, they don't, I mean, if you can't even move the ball consistently versus the Raiders, who are like the worst defense, then you're cooked. So I have nothing else to add to that.
Yeah, Russ wasn't cooking. No touchdown passes, no turnovers, but they settled for a lot of field goals, which was, which was pretty bad as well. But yeah, you have to, anytime you play the Raiders, you got to turn up, and you didn't turn up. So that's unfortunate. On the other hand, my bold prediction was DeAndre Swift finishes a top 12 running back. He didn't get there. He was top 20. So if he had some more volume and a little bit more usage in that game versus the Giants, maybe, you know, instead of Jamal Williams getting 3 touchdowns, maybe DeAndre Swift would have gotten another one of those, and maybe he would have crept into the top 12. But, you know, again, like I said in previous weeks, you watch the film, you get better. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get back in the lab and improve on some of these bold predictions.
Yeah. And real quick on the prize pick plays, first off mine, I went 0-2. The Bills just didn't need Diggs at all, really. He didn't really do nothing. You could see in the first half when the game was kind of close, he was pissed, talking, having long conversations with Sean McDermott about not getting the ball. Cause I think at that point he didn't even have a target.
Target.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was in the second quarter. That was in the second quarter too. So, and then F1, Terry McLaurin, the Texans, they played the Texans. They didn't even really need him either. The game was pretty much out of hand before the first half was over with. But he finished one catch shy of that. So, yeah, I went 0-2.
Yeah, when I saw that first, the beginning of that game where Davis Mills threw that pick six, I kind of had a feeling about what kind of game it would be, that it was going to be a blowout and they wouldn't need to really pass the ball that much. So that was unfortunate. But, you know, my Prize Picks plays went 1-1. Donovan Peoples-Jones is just as automatic as it gets, it seems like, because they keep setting his line at under 50 yards, and he's cleared 50 yards, and I think in 7 or 8 straight games. So that was encouraging to see. And then on the other hand, Jaylen Warren, I had him at over 13.5 receiving yards. He only got 9 and got hurt on that same catch, I believe. So he didn't play that many snaps. So, you know, injuries, it seems like a recurring theme throughout this year is injuries. Injuries to any guy that I pick for my Prize Picks plays, it's inevitable, right? It is inevitable. But on a brighter note, speaking of inevitable, and we're going to kind of get into some of our quick reactions and takeaways from week 11, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they're inevitable. They're inevitable. They connected for 3 touchdowns on Sunday Night Football, big stage, standalone island game. They're just more dominant than ever. You know, the rest of the AFC West spent like billions of dollars to improve their rosters, and the Chiefs are just going to run away with it again. as they continue to do. And I think the Chiefs have won like 20 straight November and December games or something like that, which is obviously an NFL record, I think. They just continue to do their thing. I think, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, just inevitable. And another piece of inevitability we can talk about in that same division, Davante Adams, had the walk-off touchdown against the Broncos, sweeping them this year. It seems like, you know, right now he's the wide receiver 3 overall for the Raiders, and, you know, in fantasy on the year, and, you know, had another 2 touchdowns, another 100-yard game. It's just, you know, he continues to produce regardless of circumstance, regardless of the quarterback play. He's that dude. He continues to be that dude, and he will always be that dude. So Davante Adams is going to continue to score points no matter what the situation is.
Real quick before we move on, did you see the video? Like, there are clips of Davante whenever he caught the first, I think it was the second touchdown with the end of the game. He was just yelling in the camera, like, he's not ready. He's not ready yet.
I think he ratted him up in that last
one. No, he did. He did rat his ass up.
Yeah.
He's not ready. He's not there yet. He's not there yet.
Yeah, but he's got a pretty good challenge ahead of him this week against Tariq Woolen, the Seahawks corner. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that a little bit later when we break down some of our Sunday and Monday games. But yeah, Davante Adams, man, like, he just continues the ball. He was the wide receiver 1 overall on the week, I believe. So another 30 burgers, third straight game of 30 plus fantasy points. And so
and barely scratching the win. On top of that,
barely scratched. Yeah,
let's get to these surprise or random running back cuts, man. Like, we just saw Darrell Henderson; he only ran 4 snaps this past week. We saw Kyren Williams play the most snaps, all the 2-minute drill, and then pretty much almost 90% of the third down plays. He played all but one of the third down plays, and then Akers had the most touches, and then. You know what? The next day, they're just like, all right, Darrell, turn in your keys. Thank you for, you know, providing some type of value to us, but we no longer need you anymore. You played yourself. Get out of here.
They shut off his badge access to the building.
Yeah. So. We saw Melvin Gordon. He got
Real quick on Darrell Henderson, man. I recall certain individuals telling me in Apple Care that, you know, Darrell Henderson looks so much better than Cam Akers. He's the better back. He looks good. He looks this. He looks that. I'm like, I don't know if I was lied to or what. I mean, I it just It's just funny to me. It's just funny to your boy. It's just funny to your boy. But yeah, continue. Sorry.
He looked good till he didn't. So
I don't know if you mean to say that, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. Melvin Gordon, he got cut. I know we did see him fumble again on Sunday, but luckily he didn't lose it, but it didn't matter because the next day they cut his ass. I don't know what he did because, I mean, they lost Chase Edmonds in that same game. And they had activated Mac. That was his first game playing. And then they also have Latavius Murray. And they were just like, yeah, we're good on you, man. We'd rather play the older running back because we know he's not going to fumble. So
that's crazy. Imagine Melvin Gordon getting cut for Latavius Murray.
But
just to feed Latavius Murray, you know, I don't know how many carries or how many touches he's going to get going forward. But, man, I did hear that Mike Boone is eligible to come off of IR in week 13. But and maybe he'll provide some value in the passing game. But, yeah, that running back room is a complete mess.
Would you suggest any of the people listening to if those running backs are available, do you want to even play that? Do you want to play that game? Do you want to go and get Latavius because he looks like the guy they trust?
I mean, I think at this point in the season, you kind of have to be open to pretty much anything, especially if I don't think you would immediately plug him into your starting lineup, but at least have him on your bench to fill a bench spot because you want to have running backs in ambiguous backfields at this point in the season, and you just never know which one's going to emerge. And if a guy emerges, if you just so happen to luck into the starter, you can put him in a flex spot and kind of reap the rewards. But I wouldn't recommend them, starting them right away. That would be kind of ambitious and kind of bold. Hey, if you're in desperate times, then go ahead. But, bye weeks, at least for now, are, kind of few and far between. Although I think week 14 is the next bipocalypse where you have another six teams on bye. So between now and week 14, maybe you can try to, get you a little trial. Trial look at some of these Denver running backs to see which one will potentially emerge between now and then. But outside of that, I wouldn't start any of them. But continuing the theme of messy situations, let's talk about some of these bad quarterbacks. throughout the course of the season, we've seen a lot of bad quarterback play, and that's kind of driven down the cause of why scoring overall as a whole has been down in past years. But we can obviously start with Zach Wilson and the Jets offense only scoring 3 points, and Zach Wilson refusing to take accountability for the offense's struggles when he was asked, do you feel like you let the defense down? He immediately, without hesitation, said no. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, like, a quarterback who has played as bad as he has, only 4 touchdowns in 7 games, but Joe Flacco, who was benched or replaced many, many weeks ago, has 5 touchdowns in 4 games. He still has more touchdown passes than Zach Wilson, and Zach Wilson has played longer. Like, just let that sink in for a second. Like, the offense was actually moving a lot more than it was with Joe Flacco than it is with Zach Wilson. Like, It's pathetic. They have they have weapons on the outside. They have Elijah Moore. They have Garrett Wilson. They have Denzel Mims, who's he's really, really talented. And I mean, coming out of Baylor, second round pick, he's got some speed. That wide receiver room is pretty deep. And Corey Davis should be coming back this week. And they spent a lot of money on him on free agency a couple years ago. And they're just not getting anything from the passing game. And it's because of Zach Wilson. He tried to like explain away his shitty performance by saying, "Oh well, it is windy as hell out there, guys." When Mac Jones completed 24 of 27 passes in those same conditions,
man.
So it is a mess there, and it's finally I'm glad that Robert Saleh is finally at least considering benching him in favor of anybody else that can play quarterback for the Jets will probably do a much better job than Zach Wilson has right now.
Bro, the last 2 years, any of the people that have came in and played, they've all done better than him. So I don't know, man.
You know what else I don't know? I don't understand. I still can't wrap my head around the pre-draft process of the Jets 2 years ago, where they weren't even like looking at any other quarterbacks. Like, they immediately identified Zach Wilson as their guy and didn't even look at any. Didn't even look at Trey Lance. Didn't even look at Justin Fields. Didn't even look at Mac. Hell, Mac Jones would have been a fucking good pick for them for that offense. Like, how Zach Wilson was just locked in as the number two overall player on, like, the number one overall player on their board and the number two overall player in that draft. It was baffling then to me, and it's baffling, even more baffling now. Like, that's just my take on it. I don't know what you think, but that is just, it didn't make a ton of sense to me. That evaluation of him was just, I didn't understand it. I did.
Nah, it didn't make no sense. I couldn't even make it make sense anyway, man. Just bad process, honestly.
Bad process. And bad process has been a consistent theme for Davis Mills this year. I mean, he hasn't played that well. They got beat up by the Washingtons this past week, and he might be on the verge of getting benched. And so there's a lot to think about there. I mean, they have some talent around them. Damian Pierce, obviously a rookie running back who's played well. They got Brandon Cooks, who was disgruntled a couple weeks ago, but he's still their best receiver. Nico Collins, athletic freak. He's been coming on lately. I think he's outperformed Brandon Cooks in a couple of games this year. Yeah. He was their leading receiver up until a couple of weeks ago when he missed a game or two with the groin injury. So, you're not getting these guys the ball consistently and missing reads, missing throws. It's a recurring theme for them, and he might get benched.
You got Stafford, who doesn't really play well. He got concussed, so we'll see if he plays this coming week. We also seen Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's back alive again. They benched Baker, and they want to take a look at Sam Darnold again. So maybe he'll wake DJ Moore up since he's been dead for a few weeks again. I don't know, man.
PJ Walker had a spark when he started, but now he's just garbage. Yep. Baker Mayfield has always been garbage. Maybe yep. Sam Darnold will have a good first game with DJ Moore, first game or two, and then that spark will die down. They just need a quarterback. They just need to start over. But the thing is, they're paying three different quarterbacks like over $40 million, I think.
Bro, bad process.
Bad process.
And then, so, I mean, we've been talking about Russ. He's been very, very bad, and you see the amount of money they're paying him, so.
Boy, that was the heist of the century from Seattle, man.
Boy,
I think we're November, we're late November. I think we can call it a pretty big heist. Seattle, they made out like bandits. We know what the Broncos are. We know what Russ is right now. Who's to say he may not turn things around? But they look like shit. Like they've always. I don't know. Can you remember the last time they scored 20 points in a game? I don't remember.
I don't remember. I want to say their scoring average for the season is like 13 points, something.
It's something two touchdowns. It's something crazy low. I know it was on par with like, I know Tampa Bay was down there too. They were like 18, 19 points per game. But I think Denver is pretty low too. I think they're a bottom five points per game scoring team as well. Points per game offense as well.
Just shameful, man.
Yeah, it's shameful. But something that's not shameful, the San Francisco 49ers offense, they have toys that they can use and deploy on any given moment, in any given play. That offense was basically just, it was target practice last night against the Cardinals. Yeah. That offense is on cruise control. Obviously, Kittle went off for 4 for 84 and two touchdowns. Both of the touchdowns were 30 from 30-plus yards out, where he broke some tackles, had a lot of yak. That's one thing that he's been known for throughout his career is yak. And George Kittle does that. And we should have identified that as a barbecue chicken alert because the Cardinals can't cover tight ends.
We did.
You're right. Cardinals can't cover tight ends. And George Kittle took full advantage. And he always eats against the Cardinals. So Deebo Samuel finally saw 9 targets this past week. That turned that into 7 catches for 57 yards. But he also saw three carries and 37 yards, and he scored a 39-yard touchdown. A total of 94 scrimmage yards. So that was good to see for Deebo Samuel. And CMC was used in the passing game, 7 for 67. but only had 7 carries for 37 yards. So I guess this is the way to kind of keep him fresh and to kind of keep him upright and to prevent him from, you know, playing those 80-90% snap shares and getting him 25 plus touches, cuz he's not going to get that in this offense. But he'll get a lot of, you know, he'll get all the passing work, obviously, and he'll get, you know, a lot of high leverage situations. And I think this is a good way to, you know, to deploy Christian McCaffrey. And of course, in more competitive games, he'll get more run. But, you know, since they were pretty much up double digits most of the game, you know, they got Elijah Mitchell going in the second half. So and they didn't really need too much from Christian McCaffrey.
Yep. I mean, they even played Jordan Mason. So
yeah, Jordan Mason got carries. Yeah.
Yeah. everybody gets some. So, but, you know, let's transition to our fantasy MVP and LVP, talking about, you know, running backs. And we're going to hit on another running back for our MVP, which is our boy Tony Pollard, man. 80 rush yards, six catches for 109 yards and two touchdowns there. Like, he finishes the RB1 for the week. For somebody that was sharing the load with Zeke, who just came back, he looked unstoppable, man. Every time he touched the ball, it was 5 yards a carry. I think he averaged a little more than 5 yards a carry on top of
15 carries, 80 yards.
Yeah, so a little over 5 yards a carry on top of what he did in the receiving game. He's been the number one fantasy running back, fantasy points per game the last 5 weeks. If you can even fathom that for somebody that's supposed to be a part-time player. So Cowboys, if you're listening, man, he should be leading the backfield in touches, bro. So I don't even have anything else to say.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you pretty much said it all. I mean, he's that dude, he's that guy, and he's, you know, rushing yards over expected, you know, points, you know, yards per touch, yards created per touch. Like, he's up there in all those metrics. So, you know, Tony Pollard deserves to continue to get all the, you know, to get most of the touches in the Cowboys backfield. But transitioning to our fantasy LVP of the week, and you're not going to find this guy on this list very often or in this stage very often, but Saquon Barkley is our LVP of the week. Only 15 carries for 22 yards, two catches for 13 yards in a receiving game versus a bottom five defense. You know, terrible performance. Kind of sunk a lot of my fantasy squads this year. Not this year, this week, this past week. Yeah, I mean, the line. I mean, kudos to the Lions defense, and they sold out to stop the Giants' number one weapon. And you know, they surrendered a lot through the air. You know, from Daniel Jones, which was pretty rare which is a pretty rare occurrence. But you know, you stop the Giants' best player, and you're probably going to win, and that's what happened on Sunday. So Saquon Barkley is our fantasy LVP of the week.
You know, they did sell out. We saw Wandell had a breakout game, and then he tore his ACL. So sad to see, but we'll see what they do against the Cowboys on Thursday. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So next segment, the favorite segment of the show, cap or no cap. Hopefully y'all know what cap means by now if y'all been listening. But if you do not know what cap means, cap is another word for lying. So if I say, Ike, the Cowboys lost to the Vikings 40-3, you would say,
that is cap.
Yeah, because the Cowboys actually beat them 40-3. Probably should have been more than that.
Yeah. But
we didn't want to embarrass them too much in front of their hoes at home. So, all right. So the first statement I got for you, we are buying James Cook for rest of the season, coming off of, you know, 11 for 86 versus the Cleveland Browns. What do you think on it? We've been seeing him getting used the last couple of weeks a little bit more and more, even though they did just buy Nyheim Hines. What you think? You buying?
I'm going to say cap right now. I would love for this to be no cap. I mean, 11 for 86 is a nice line, man. It's a real nice line. But I gotta see more, though. I gotta see more. They were playing against the Browns. The Browns, you know, defense isn't good. Look, they have the Lions coming up this week, and that defense has been giving up the cheeks for the most part this year, outside of a handful of, you know, decent performances where they were able to kind of stop some top players. But I'd have to see a little bit more. I'm on the fence, but I'm leaning cap right now. I know he was getting work in the second and third quarter, which is a lot earlier than he, you know, normally gets work. which was really, really encouraging to see. His usage was really encouraging, and they're on a top five offense, at least in most weeks. I know Josh Allen's kind of been slumping lately, but I think by and large, you know, we haven't seen them use Nyheim Hines that much at all since they acquired him from the Colts. So it's just a two-man backfield, and, you know, I think I'll be in with another good performance. So right now, yeah. But right now though, it's cap for me.
Yeah, I'm on cap also. Just, I mean, Singletary's been pretty much 70% of the snaps all year, while, you know, James Cook gets 15 to 20. And then now that you got Nyheim Hines is breaking into, I mean, this past week, he had 15%. So I just imagine him getting ramped up a little bit more each week just because he's new to the system and he's a proven pass catcher in this league. So it's almost going to take an injury for Singletary for me to be like, all right, I need to buy into James Cook right now. So,
yeah. And look, he's on waiver wire columns right now to pick up. And he's a good guy to target. He's a good guy to spend some fab on. Yeah. I'd spend fab on him if for some strange reason James Cook is available in your league. I would definitely spend some fab on him too, but just to see what happens. But right now, yeah. I'm not all the way in. I'm kind of in. I got a couple toes in, but like not all the way in quite yet. I just need to see a couple more. I need to see like another good week from him, some more consistent usage before I'm all in.
I feel you there. All right. So the next one I have is Isaiah Pacheco is a top 20 back rest of season, and we just saw him come off his best game of the year with 15 carries and 107 yards versus the Chargers, who is what bottom three in terms of defending the run in the league. So what you got?
This is no cap for me. He's the guy. He's the guy there in Kansas City. I mean, we've kind of seen hints at this, especially before the bye week. They named him the starter over CEH. After the bye, saw some more usage. And then this week we saw him get 15 carries for over 100 yards. And you know, he is the RB 27 over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I know he's not getting the much passing game volume quite yet. That still belongs to Jerick McKinnon. But there's, you know, things are looking up for Pacheco. And, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a high ankle sprain.
Yep.
He sustained a high ankle sprain this past week against the Chargers. So he's going to be seeing a lot more usage. I mean, he was already seeing a lot of usage. CH wasn't really playing that much as it was. So this really solidifies him being in the mix, especially with, you know, Patrick Mahomes at the helm and them moving the ball up and down the field. And, you know, we're seeing him produce. We're seeing him do things on the field that Clyde Edwards-Helaire can't do, that has not been able to do so far in his NFL career. And so and that's why they pretty much relegated him to just, you know, a snap here or a snap there. So, yeah, I'm in on Pacheco.
Yeah, man. I think I'm in too, man. I think this is no cap here. He is the, you know, he's the first and second down back, and you know he's the goal line back, especially with CH out. We know he's not getting any passing work, but I mean, we're at the time of the year where teams are going to grind out carries the end game. So I think it's important for you, if he's available in your leagues, to go and get him for sure. I mean, at this point, it's probably criminal if he's sitting out on your waiver. So I would definitely blow a lot of my fab for Isaiah Pacheco. Last one I got for you. Treylon Burks is a league winner down the stretch. Cap or no cap?
Oh, this is 100% no cap. Are you kidding me? Kidding me? Treylon Burks is that dude. In half of his games, he's seen at least a 30 plus percent target rate. That's targets per route run for those who don't know, for those who are unfamiliar. Just came off of a pretty big game against the Packers, kind of, you know, out of nowhere. I mean, they early and often they were throwing him the ball, and he caught like a 44 yard, deep ball in like the first minute of the game.
Yep.
So you kind of basically set the tone for what kind of game he was going to have. Finished with 8 catches, 111 yards. Now, he only played 50% of the snaps, but his targets per route run, again, this game was 38%. Yeah. So when he's running routes, he's getting targeted. He's getting targeted at a much higher clip than any of those Titans receivers, higher than Robert Woods, higher than Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, higher than whoever the hell else they got. Just doesn't matter, because Treylon Burks is that guy. And get this, like, He has more yards. He had more yards in week 11 than Drake London has had over the last 5 weeks. Over the last 5 weeks combined.
Arthur Smith. Yards in one game. Arthur Smith the God.
Arthur Smith the God. his top 10 pick. And that's that. And I think that's him and Mariota together. You know, Mariota's been inaccurate. That, you know, I mentioned, I think, last week where he was top, you know, top 10 in the league of, you know, with uncatchable passes and uncatchable targets. So, but yeah, Treylon Burks, most certainly a league winner.
Yeah, I believe this is also no cap, man. He is the guy in that offense. I mean, the last two games that he's played, which are him coming off an injury, he's led the team in target share, targets per route run, and he's running it at like 25% snaps than Woods and Westbrook and Kine. So they're definitely telling us that he's the guy on the field. When he's on the field, he's getting the ball. So I definitely co-sign that, man, no cap. So.
And then, just real quick, with regards to like the term and the phrasing league winner, this is just a guy that's going to really take your fantasy squad to the next level and help you make that playoff push. So think of a guy like, I know it's kind of cliche to kind of mention this guy, but Amon-Ra St. Brown last year, right? I mean, at this point last year, he wasn't really highly regarded in fantasy circles, but then he just went nuclear. So think of guys like that, or maybe A.J. Brown in 2019, whenever he was a rookie, started balling down the stretch. So guys like that will, you know, when they have these spike weeks, you know, just continue to put them all together, down the stretch. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Just to visualize a league winning type of player. So Amara, the last, 6 weeks, 8 for 80 and a touchdown for the last six games, at least.
Yeah.
So pure definition of a league winner.
All right. Talk to me nice. The next segment of the show, we highlight a couple of matchups we want to attack. But first, the first matchup we want to talk about, Austin Eckler versus the Cardinals defense. And that Cardinals defense, they've just been getting shredded and they've been getting ripped up quite a bit lately. You know, they've surrendered the third most receptions to running backs, fourth most reception yards, and the fifth most fantasy points allowed to running backs. And, you know, Austin Eckler, he's fourth in fantasy points per game over the last 5 weeks. So, I mean, the Cardinals are just going to continue to get shredded over and over. And hell, there's another good matchup in that week. There's another good matchup in that game. Assuming Gerald Everett plays, Cardinals defending tight ends, you just have to go back to the well. I mean, assuming Gerald Everett is healthy, I think he has a pretty good game, especially with, you know, Mike Williams re-aggravating his ankle injury. So there's going to be some opportunity there for sure.
And then let's get into the first Thanksgiving game, which is the Bills versus Lions. The Bills are favored by basically 10 points. This over under is 54.5, which is, I believe, the highest that we've seen for this coming week of games. And we like Josh Allen, Diggs, and Gabe Davis versus this defense. Last 5 weeks, they've given up the most receptions to wide receivers, the most fantasy points to wide receivers in the slot. Six most fantasy points to wide receivers, period. The most fantasy points allowed to quarterback, second most pass yards allowed to quarterback per game, second most rush yards to quarterback per game, and then the seventh worst pressure rate to quarterback. So,
oh, Jesus Christ.
So load all those guys up with no hesitation, even Brickhands, Gabe Davis. They should all be able to eat, man.
Yeah, the thing is, they just played a game in Detroit, so this is not going to be unfamiliar terrain for them. So they just played a game in the Dome in Detroit, in front of a lot of their fans, actually. So
yeah,
who knows? Maybe some of those fans will stay in Detroit and watch the Bills play on Thursday, on Thursday morning, or whenever the game kicks off, 11:30 p.m. or 11:30 a.m. Right?
Yep.
11:30 a.m. 12 p.m. Yeah. So yeah, that. They're going to stay there. And then just kind of staying in that same game on the other side, we like Amon-Ra St. Brown versus that Bills secondary. I mean, the last 5 weeks, the Bills defense is, you know, kind of shown some cracks a little bit. You know, they've surrendered the third most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers in the slot, and they've surrendered the fourth most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, period. So, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to lead that Lions passing game in targets and target share. And he's going to be pretty busy because they're going to be chasing points, because they are 10-point home underdogs in this game, and a game that's expected to have, you know, a lot of points. quite literally a shootout. We're gonna fire everybody up that we possibly can, and especially in DFS if we have to. And so this is a good game to target. Our beloved Cowboys are hosting the Giants. We're 9-point favorites. You know, the over under is 45.5. There's really not much to this game, honestly. I mean, just, you know, the Cowboys to potentially just continue their dominance over the Giants that we've seen over the last, you know, several years. You know, Dak continues to own the NFC East, and, you know, we'll see a lot of Tony Pollard again. CeeDee Lamb should get busy. Dalton Schultz should definitely have some room operating underneath. And then, you know, this is probably the game that'll decide where Odell Beckham signs, right? Well, that's what we've been hearing.
Yeah.
At least that's what we've been hearing. I'm not overly optimistic that he's going to sign with the Cowboys. I've always stuck to that contention, but hey, I could be wrong. I'd like to be wrong. But there's really not much to this game. I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley, he's probably, you know, the only threat the Giants have right now. I mean, Giants have a lot of injuries. And Daniel Jones is still the Giants quarterback. So he'll be prone to mistakes. Although he's done a good job of taking care of the ball this year for the most part. You know, I think he threw a couple of interceptions against the Lions this past Sunday. But outside of that, I mean, the Cowboys pass rush, they lead the NFL in sacks per game with 4. They just had 7 against Kirk Cousins this past Sunday. So yeah, it's going to be a good game for the Cowboys to feast on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, man. In the last 5 games, they're third in the league in pressure rate with almost at a 50% rate. So good luck. The next game, the last Thanksgiving game, is the Patriots versus Vikings. The game's in Minnesota. They're favored by 3 points, 42.5 over under. Couple things I'm looking at is, you know, the Patriots, you know, they're known for, you know, shutting down your main guy on offense. And I think they'll be looking in the hone in on shutting down Jefferson. They'll probably be looking at what the Cowboys did versus him and probably try to emulate it. I know the Patriots, they are right now, the last 5 games, they are, you know, 31st or second best in, you know, yards given up to the wide receivers at just 113, which is tied with the Jets. And they just paid this past weekend. And you saw how that went. So, but the Vikings do have more weapons, but you know they're going to be very honed in on Jefferson. So, but you're going to play Jefferson anyway because, I mean, he's a top five player in the league. You know, number one or number two wide receiver in fantasy. Just be prepared for him maybe not to do much. Even though I know I said last week that pretty much every home game he's played in his career, he's averaged almost 100 yards. It's just, you know, he just ran into a bus all this past weekend, and it might be another one.
Sure.
Might be another one because you also got to keep in mind this is Kirk Cousins on primetime, and he never shows up when the lights are brightest.
Yeah, that's right. They do have the primetime game.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then on the other side, the Patriots, they're going against a defense who's given up the second most receiving yards the last 5 weeks, which is the Vikings defense. So we could be looking at a little bit of a revival for Mac Jones. He's not going to be outside. We know he likes Jacoby Myers is one of his targets. It'll be interesting to see if we can see Stevenson get loose, because I know this rush defense is middle of the road. But again, you just saw the Cowboys just run all over him. So it should be very interesting how this game goes.
And plus on just circling back to Stevenson, like he does a lot of damage in the passing game. I know he was outrushed by Damian Harris this past game, but he still played, you know, 60%+ of the snaps versus Harris's, you know, I think around 30% or close to 30%. So I think you know, he'll do a lot of damage in the passing game. He had 6 catches for 56 yards against the Jets. So I think Stevenson is fine. He's a locked in, you know, at least RB1, if not a high end RB2, moving forward.
Yep. So I'll be looking you can start Myers, you can start Stevenson. I don't think you're starting Mac Jones because nobody has a bye. And then I think on the Vikings side, you're starting Jefferson by default. You're starting Cook. You're starting Hockenson if he should be available. You're starting Thielen because I'm assuming Jefferson's going to get most of the attention, and maybe start Kirk Cousins if you don't have a good option.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so the last segment of the show, we're going to touch on some of the Sunday and Monday games, the remaining games. I know we have a triple header on Thursday night or on Thursday for Thanksgiving. So that leaves only a few Sunday games for us to look at. But we want to touch on some of the most important ones. First, Cincinnati at Tennessee. Cincinnati is a 1.5, 2-point favorite. Over-under is 42.5. The one thing we want to look towards is this the return of Ja'Marr Chase? Because there was speculation that he's going to start practicing this week. The first practice reports will be released tomorrow, so we'll see if he's out there. And this will be a huge boon for that Cincinnati passing attack. But you know, they had a pretty good game this past week. You know, and obviously T. Higgins went for 148 against that Steelers secondary. That was a matchup that we highlighted last week, and he cooked them boys per usual. This could spell the return of Ja'Marr Chase. And we also want to look to see what can Treylon Burks do for an encore? Like, what can he do for an encore? I mean, he only played 50% snaps, but his target rate, as we mentioned earlier, is in the high 30s. Can he keep that going? Will Cincinnati devote extra attention to him? That remains to be seen, but, we know the snap shares should potentially go up. The production will go up and the efficiency will go up, and you know, sky's the limit for this dude. I mean, he's basically their most trusted, not most trusted, but their most most explosive and most dangerous passing game weapon. As most teams focus on loading up the box and trying to stop Derrick Henry.
Yeah. On to the next game, we got Las Vegas versus Seattle. Seattle's at home and they're a 3.5-point favorite. Over under 47.5, so they're expecting some points to happen in this game. Seattle's coming off a bye, while Las Vegas is just coming off from overtime game versus Denver. Should be interesting. I know the one matchup we're going to be looking at was the Davante Adams versus Tyreek Woolen, the rookie corner who's been shutting down a lot of folks, no matter who he's been faced up against. But I mean, we're still expecting Davante to still do work. But I just know that this is something that I want to look at when I watch this game, just from not even looking for a fantasy perspective, but just gamesmanship of seeing how he battles versus this elite wide receiver. I mean, you're starting Davante Adams. I mean, we saw what he did to the second year corner, Patrick Surtain, the second. So I expect something similar. We'll see what Carr does on the road outside the division. I know also the last five weeks here, the Vegas defense has been better. Pass defense has been a little bit better in terms of giving up passing yards to the wide receivers. They're 20th in giving up passing yards per game to the wide receivers. So they've done better in that area. So it should be interesting, because I still expect the Seattle offense with Metcalf and Lockett to be able to get theirs. I think they have very good wide receiver to cornerback matchups. According to PFF, I think Lockett has the fifth or sixth highest rated matchup. So I expect one of them, if not both of them, to do some good things versus the Vegas defense.
Yeah, and real quick, circling back to that matchup between Davante Adams and Tariq Woolen. Tariq Woolen, he has not surrendered more than 57 yards in a game this year. Mm. So he is playing like some solid ass ball, man. I think he has 4 interceptions on the year. He's cooking, man. He's cooking. So I'm excited to kind of see that matchup. And then we already kind of touched on the Chargers and Cardinals game, and we just want to make sure another thing we want to look towards in that game is Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown. Are they coming back in the lineup? I mean, Kyler Murray's been out with that hamstring injury, and Hollywood Brown was back at practice this past week, but they ultimately ruled him out. And I think they may hold both of them out again because their bye week is week 13. So that's just kind of one thing to kind of keep in mind. But the next game we want to kind of look at is the Green Bay Philadelphia Eagles matchup. That over under is 46.5. And we've seen Christian Watson emerge over the last couple of weeks. He has 5 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks, and that leads all rookie wide receivers. And that he's done all that in the last couple of weeks. Can he get open versus Darius Slay and James Bradbury? I mean, those are two solid corners. I think that's a top 10 cornerback duo in the league. And then we also want to look towards what can the Eagles run defense do versus Aaron Jones? Who can win? And I only say Aaron Jones because, you know, we haven't seen anything from DJ Dillon since week one. And Aaron Jones, it seems like the Green Bay Packers are trying to commit to mainly getting him involved more and more each week. At least that's what it appears like. Can they stop the run? I mean, I know Jonathan Taylor had a pretty good game this past week against the Eagles. Could have been a much bigger game for him, honestly, because I think the first quarter, I think he had like 50 yards, and I think he finished the game with like 84, 85 or something along those lines.
Yeah.
So I know the Eagles, they saw they signed Linval Joseph and Domakon Sue, and they actually made some plays in that game. But you know, we can, you know, that's a huge key matchup to watch. The Eagles run deep versus, you know, the Packers running backs.
Yeah, and then on the Packers offense, it'd be interesting to see who's actually gonna do something. I know you just talked about the run defense, but the Eagles have given up the least fantasy points to quarterbacks the last 5 weeks. So which Aaron Rodgers are we going to see? Are we going to see the one that, you know, finds a way versus the Cowboys, or what we saw last week, who just lays down like a dog versus the Tennessee Titans? So we will see. We will see for sure. And I mean, we're expecting Philly to, it's been a mixed bag with Philly the last couple of weeks. I know that we saw them struggle versus the Colts. For whatever reason, they stopped running Jalen Hurts. We need to see that. Like, I know as a fantasy owner, I want to see him carry the ball because it helped open up the offense when he was running the ball 9, 10, 11 times a game. It just opened up a different element. So hopefully we see something. I know their secondary is really good, but they're not going to be able to cover. I don't think they'll be able to cover both A.J. Brown and Devontae. So I think one of them should be able to get loose.
Yeah, and also on another note about that Eagles offense, they haven't really crested 200 yards passing in quite some time. I think the last time they did that was against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's when, you know, A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts went apeshit. Yeah. So, but outside of that, we haven't really seen them consistently get in the 200 yards passing range. So this could be an opportunity for them to get right. But, you know, like you said, the Packers secondary is pretty decent. You know, Jaire Alexander may be traveling with A.J. Brown, and that'll leave a lot of one-on-one opportunities for Devontae Smith, and maybe they take advantage of him. And they're playing at home on a Sunday night, so that could be an opportunity for them. And then the last game we want to touch on is the Tampa Bay Bucks versus the Cleveland Browns. Tampa Bay is on the road. They're a 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is 43. And a couple of things we want to, you know, kind of note here: Brady and their weapons. They're rested. They're coming off of a bye, and for a 45-year-old man and some veterans that have been banged up, this is a perfect time for them to take a bye this late in the season, so they can, you know, get ready for another stretch run and another run at a possible championship for that team. You know, they're firmly in they lead the NFC South, I believe. You know, over the Falcons, they have the tiebreaker over them. And so, you know, that those weapons they should be well rested. And, you know, another thing we want to make note of and ask: who's going to start for Tampa Bay at running back, right? Who's going to start? I mean, there was a lot of talk about Rashad White. He actually started the game in London, or not in London, Germany, before the bye week, and played 65% of the snaps. Now, a lot of that had to do with, you know, Leonard Fournette hurting his hip, has a hip pointer. So we're going to see if, you know, from a practice participation standpoint, you know, how much does Lenny do this week? Does he practice at all? Does he practice in limited fashion? We know that at least at the very least, he'll be limited. But if he doesn't practice, this is setting up to be a Rashad White, second half, you know, post bye rookie bump kind of thing. So that's just one thing that we need to, you know, kind of keep an eye on. And he gets a pretty damn good matchup. He gets a pretty damn good matchup versus that Browns rush defense. I mean, they've allowed the second most fantasy points to running backs over the last 5 weeks, and they just allowed the Bills to go to have two running backs rush for 86 yards each. Yeah. So that's a pretty good matchup for whoever starts a running back for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I think on the Cleveland side, I mean, I think this Tampa Bay defense has really gotten a little bit better the last few weeks. So it should be interesting how how they match up against them, because I know Tampa Bay's run defense has been, you know, middle of the road, especially this last 5 weeks. And Chubb has pretty much been what, top three running back this year in terms of fantasy points. So should be interesting how they deploy him.
He hasn't been good this last couple of weeks though.
His
yards have been kind of low the last couple of weeks. I think he had like what, 19 against the Bills or something along those. Like he had
19 last week. They were using him a little bit in a passing game, then it just didn't work after that. You know, the Bills run defense has been good overall this season, It should just be interesting what Cleveland does. You know, we've been, like we talked about at the beginning, DPJ has been solid in terms of his progression this year. He's been above 50 yards, eight games in a row now. So he's been a solid number two. We just saw Cooper dissect the Bills defense. But like we said, this Buccaneers defense is really honed in and locked in the last few weeks. So we should be interesting to see how this game goes. But we are at the end of the show. So real quick, what I need y'all to do is please go to Destination Debbie Radio, wherever you get podcasts. So if you listen on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your playlist, your podcast, you know, hit the follow button, rate us 5 stars, share it with friends, comment below wherever you listen to your podcast, and, you know, just tap in with us, man. We put in a lot of work in giving y'all the information, and hopefully it's been entertaining to y'all at the same time. So, and if you're looking for that good work on Fridays, you know, AKA the All Gas newsletter, go to the Destination Devi Twitter page and hit subscribe on the newsletter, man. You get those every Friday at 7:01, and, you know, just a lot of good things talking about, you know, Devi players to look out for the next coming rookie draft, our ADP. We've been running ADPs or mock drafts every week since August, so you can see how players are fluctuating throughout the course of the year. And of course, you get, you know, a lot of betting props and things that we're looking at in terms of what we wanted to put some money on for the coming game. So, you know, just on top of all the people that are putting out podcasts on a daily basis. So, you know, tap in with us and you know, enjoy the information that we're giving out to y'all. So, Ike, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, I mean, I echo everything. I echo all your sentiments. You know, just, you know, follow and tap into everything that we're doing here at Destination Devi. It's a lot of dope stuff, man. You know, we appreciate y'all, you know, lending us your ear. This episode is going to drop on Thanksgiving morning. So make sure you tap in and you download and you listen, you get all the information before those games kick off. But yeah, we appreciate y'all tapping in.
Yeah, man. Until then, we'll talk to y'all next week. Let's get nasty in that waiver wire.
Get nasty, man.
You got to go find those players you might not have thought of. They might be ready for that playoff push. So get nasty and let's get some W's.
Peace.